Thank you for tuning in. You are listening to BikeRadio.me's The Mystical Crew Show. For network or show information, visit www.biteradio.me or call 843-808-0777. And now, The Mystical Crew Show with your host, Robert Sharp.
Hello, everyone, and thank you for joining us for this special edition of The Mystical Crew Show. Today, we have a special 90-minute show, and we have my very special guest is Tammy J. Holmes. She is founder and CEO of Mind Your Intentions. Tammy brings universal hope through spiritual coaching, mediumship, and her talks and group readings. Tammy gathers and connects with those who are ready to see their life through new eyes. With a database of more than 50,000 clients and friends, she connects her worldwide and international clientele with their higher purpose through books, CDs, and personalized spiritual coaching. Tammy has coached and read for more than 30,000 clients since 1996. In 2006, People magazine featured Tammy's abilities in a story of how she was able to assist police in a case garnering national attention by locating a body of a Phoenix area business owner's mother in the desert. To create transformation on a grander scale, she has produced more than 25 of the Awakening conferences, thus connecting with other internationally renowned speakers such as Marianne Williamson, Michael and Ricky Beckwith, and Don Miguel Ruiz, with thousands seeking spiritual growth. There we go. You can find out more about Tammy at her website, which is RememberingOneOnceAgain.com. And that's the name of her book. And again, it's RememberingOneOnceAgain.com. To make that very easy for you to access, there is a direct link in the show page description. So you can just click on that link and it'll take you right to All About Tammy. So with that, let me go ahead and bring Tammy to the show. Hey, Tammy.
Hey, how are you?
I'm doing very well. I have a little tongue-tied here.
That's okay. I'm laughing here. It's wonderful.
Yeah. Well, and also we have our wonderful follower and friend Chris from Canada in the chat room, and she went ahead and posted your link in the chat room for me. So thank you, Chris, for that. And again, it's rememberingoneonceagain.com. So for today's show, we're going to talk a little bit about Tammy's book, and then we are going to open up the lines, and Tammy will take callers' questions. So, but to begin with, I have to say, Tammy, that I loved your book. I really did. It was a lot of fun.
I'm so glad that you liked it, and it's an easy read, and I think once you get into it, you just keep reading it.
Yeah, and the subtitle, by the way, is 12 Principles That Will Change Your Life, and they have, as a matter of fact, and I'll give a couple examples, as we discuss it tonight on insights that I had after I read your book. But let's start with, if you would, I think the story of how the inspiration for this book came to you is worth mentioning. Would you mind telling the listeners that particular story?
Sure. What happened was, and this actually started in 2008. In 2008, I had just put together two of the biggest conferences I've ever produced together. And I had 23 speakers and 7 musicians at 2 different conferences. And big names, Marianne Williamson and Don Miguel and Dan Millman and Gene Houston, and it just goes on and on, the list of the speakers we had plus the 7 musicians at each conference. And it was a 4.5-day venue, one in Texas and one in Phoenix, Arizona. And when you produce events this big, plus I had a full practice, I was coaching and doing readings. I was working 12, 14-hour days, and I was exhausted, and kind of stressed, not kind of, I was pretty stressed out. And, you know, I would vacillate a lot in fear, and then I'd have lights of, you know, truth come through because I was meditating, and I do the Course in Miracles every day, so that keeps me somewhat grounded. But I was actually walking to my laundry room in 2008, and it was an early morning. I was just, you know, kind of disgusted with how the day was starting and caught up in some chaos, and I was walking through my laundry room, and I heard this loud voice, and I actually can't tell you if it was in my head or in the room because it was so loud. And the voice said I wasn't playing with a full deck. And in the frame of mind I was in, I said, well, how can you when you occupy a body on planet Earth? Basically, how can anybody do it? And it said, you can, and here are the 12 principles on how you can learn, you know, live easier lives, but also, you know, learn from joy and not pain. So I ran and I dropped my laundry basket, ran and got a yellow notepad, and I sat down in 20 minutes. The 12 principles came in plus the subheading. Now, it came so quick I could not read my writing, so I had to rewrite everything because I knew I didn't want to lose it. And after all this came in, things got very quiet, and I thought, oh my, I just had the most incredible thing happen. I cried for an hour. I was on my knees crying. So I got up and I said, well, I still have to produce these events. And to my dismay, I saved the 12 principles in a file cabinet until later, until everything really fell apart. Then I went looking for it. I'm like, okay, I got my white flag. I surrender. I'm ready to live the principles. And that was 2010. So 2 years it took me to get to that list. And once I did, it's like the voice came back and wrote the book. I can honestly say this book was completely channeled, other than some of the questions I asked. But even I was guided on the answers through the book, through this ascended being named William. And yes, the way he came to me, which I didn't put in the book, but the way that he came to me was when I was putting together this event in 2008 and I was doing the back end work before the events came in, I actually went to the council. I went to the council in meditation to complain that I felt like I wasn't getting the support I needed to run these conferences. And he was actually part of that council. And I didn't know that because all they told me is I had perseverance. And I'm like, that's great, but I still need help here.
Really? Thanks for the advice.
You know, I think we all get moments where we think we're really floundering, but we're actually not. Yeah. But that's how he actually decided to help me, was he was part of that council. And,
wow.
Let
me, for the listeners, I'm going to read these principles just once, and then after, you know, we'll be talking just about actually only probably two or three at most before we switch over to take callers. But also, you folks, you can, you know, purchase Tammy's book online and also find out more details. But anyway, principle one is be peace within. Number two is what can I do now? Number three is become the receiver of grace and guidance. Number four is faith with no hesitation. Number five is be your process in the journey. And number six is live and serve moment to moment. Number seven, there are no mistakes. Number eight, in due time. Number nine is beyond the illusion. 10 is erasing the veil. Number 11 is capturing the oneness, and number 12 is returning home to all that is. So those are the 12 principles, and you know, and it's, to me, it's amazing, you know, that I mean, because that's quite a diverse group, and just to have those come to you, I bet. I mean, that had to have been a very emotional, you know, inspiring moment.
It was. And it was, the voice was so loud, I know he wanted to make sure that I wouldn't, you know, question it. I mean, it really dropped me to my knees.
Yeah.
So,
now, William, you said, was part of this council, but also in your book you indicate that William had said that you had also had a previous lifetime together.
I did.
I
did. He was a brother of mine in a past life, and we fought for a war that we shouldn't have, and he wanted to have redemption from spirit to spirit. And when I was writing that, I'm like, am I making this up? And that's when he said, you think you've gone sane. I mean, you think you've gone crazy, but you've gone sane. Because I was questioning it in my mind as I was writing it, and he answered it as I was questioning it.
Yeah. You know, I mean, and I think for people who are just opening up to, you know, that kind of communication, you know, there is sometimes that fine line, you know?
Yeah.
You know? And, but, you know, one of the things that I liked most about your book is that it was a very easy read.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it was, it just took no time really at all to go through the whole book. It was just very conversational between you and William.
Yes. And that's
now,
how he wanted it.
Yeah.
He wanted the intimacy
okay.
with it.
Yeah. Now, what I want to do is I'm going to really kind of go through the principal one in detail. And what I did, folks, is when I read a book, many times I'll just jot down notes, you know, things to, you know, possible questions and that kind of thing. And when I went through principle one, I had probably about 25 that I whittled down to about a dozen. I thought, okay, let's, you know, we're only going to have, you know, a 90-minute show with half of that being conversation. So, but let me go ahead and mention some of these, because once you get an idea of the kinds of notes that I made, folks, you really get an idea of what the whole book is about and how the other principles are addressed. So first of all, with being peace within, we mentioned just before the show that, you know, that particular principle really takes up a good portion of the book. I think it's like 50 pages out of the 235,
yes.
Something like that. So,
yes.
Why that was?
Well, he wanted the first, and you'll even see that the energy shifts between the writing through the next principles, is because he wanted the energy of principle one to be prominent, because that's where we all get stuck.
Okay.
And as soon as you get
being
to principle
peaceful
two,
within.
The more you cling to the struggle and pain, the farther you are from the solution, which means that we're all majority of the time we're stuck in our pain and the struggle.
Yeah.
And we're in the fear. And the other thing, too, is take note, is I'm a Course in Miracles student. I've been doing the course since 94, or it's been actually doing me. But so you'll get a lot of feeling of the Course in Miracles in this book. But the reason he wanted Chapter 1 to be so prevalent with the writing, and because he wanted us to really understand what that was about so we can get out of it quicker. Because you can't go to any other principle. And I mean, it's kind of lateral. You have to get out of one before you can go to two, and then by the time you get to two, you can actually go quickly through all the other principles.
Yeah, and I can see where they do like build on each other,
mm-hmm.
but it's kind of like just getting into the basic education. Once you have the basics, then
mm-hmm.
all the explanation of the other items kind of fall back into place. Now, one of the first things I noted at the B piece within is that talked about the lowest frequency to hold is the victim energy. And
yes.
I've been noticing a lot of people playing the victim card lately,
yes.
or holding on to that position, I should say. To me, that was very interesting.
And you know what? There's a saying that it's not in a book that I really like, Edgar Cayce. It's a saying that he said when he was alive, you either co-create or play a victim in every minute. So you can't do both. You can't do, maybe I'll do a little bit of victim and maybe I'll do a little bit of love or co-create. But you actually, one or the other, you're either playing a victim or you're not. And you know when
mm-hmm.
you're in that because you're not taking ownership. You're either projecting. You're blaming yourself or you're blaming somebody else.
Yeah.
Or you feel powerless.
Yeah. Yeah, it does. I think it really does get down to that. I mean, the idea of recognizing one's own power. You know, you know, that that's kind of where it has. I mean, you have to realize, first of all, that you have the power to create or co-create before you can even go
Correct.
On and do anything.
You got to be aware.
Yeah. Now, in that chapter, it also indicates that William works in four different realms.
Okay.
Can you kind of explain how he explained that?
What he said is, and this is so, I want to explain this before I go into it because it actually showed me, he actually showed me this. I was in a meditation, and he took me into a, like a theater, you know, because I love going to the movies, so he uses what I'm connected to. So he took me into a theater, and on the screen, in the book on page 48, it shows the different levels. Okay, so the six levels. And what he did is on a screen, on a movie screen, he showed me all these levels. And they were all colored and vibrant levels, and it showed all the six levels. And what was so beautiful is all these streams of, like, golden white light were coming down like oil, you know, like on a canvas, and it was dripping. And I said, William, what is that? He goes, that's the we, that's the higher self, that's all of us pulling you out of these levels. You're never alone. And I started crying again. You know, it just really touched me that we really are not alone. And what he's saying is the first three levels, okay, like the first level is, you know, victim energy, despair, you know, you're really in muck of the muck. And then
that's right. Six levels. This is now six levels kind of like that are on the planet that people are experiencing?
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
And
the first two of despair, okay.
And then he's also talking about the other realms that they work in, too. But I just want to get clear about those six levels. The first four levels, actually, once you get to the fourth level, you're at the point where you can change the planet. And then, because the first three levels, the first two levels are despair and victim energy and you're, you know, really caught up in pain. The third level is where you're just getting by. You're not happy and you're not real happy and you're not unhappy. You're just kind of like a robot. You're apathetic, you know, and you're just kind of going in life and doing things, but you're not really co-creating. You're letting life, you know what I mean? You're reacting to what life is.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And then the fourth level is where you start waking up and you start realizing you can co-create. But he says at that point, after that point, they're always assisting us, but it's not as needed. And
the assistance isn't needed as much when you
not
start.
Not as much. I mean, we always have it, but it's not as, you know, you're not in dire straits at that point. And then they have different realms of existence, you know, different. And I take that as universal realms and frequencies. So everything's connected, even the, you know, planets and galaxies and universes that we don't even know about. It's all, everything we do connects to everything. You know, and the only thought I had about it, and he confirmed it, it's like that movie in Contact where Jodie Foster was touching the sky and it reverberated back. And and that's basically it. It's like we are connected to even the air and, I mean, to what we can't even see.
Those levels I thought were very interesting because when we got to the three, it was just getting by, then four was having hope, believing things could be different. Five was tapping into your higher self, a transparent divine order, and then vibrating in a couple different realms.
Right.
And then the six was transcendence to another realm.
Yes, transcendence to another realm. And you know when you're and I don't know if anybody's had this experience, and I've had it many times. Once you get to the fourth level, the fifth level, you feel like you're here and not here. You actually feel that you're not even. You feel like you're here, but you're not. It's a most incredible experience. And the times I've had those experiences, I can't get enough water. Electronics go off and on, and I'm up for 4 or 5 days straight.
Wow.
And I gave a talk one time in Las Vegas where I actually altered into the fourth and fifth level, and everybody was up for 4 or 5 days. Everybody was affected by it.
Because wow.
you're vibrating so high, it affects everything around you.
Yeah. Well, you know, I believe in that. I mean, that to me, and I actually I don't have it happen often, but I would say that I probably had that happen once, and that was, you know, when I was writing my book, there was one point that, I mean, it was, you know, kind of I saw before me at the same time, you know, like five different alternative realities, I guess, for lack of a better word.
Yes.
So, and I thought, wow, that was good.
You know? Life-changing, yes.
Yeah, it does. Yeah, you kind of want to have more than that. Before we go on too much further, I want to bring in somebody special.
Okay, cool.
Hello, Scott.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi, Scott.
Can you guys hear me?
Yes, we can. This
okay,
is
I apologize.
Go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, I'm in the French Quarter celebrating Mardi Gras right now, so I apologize.
Just rub it in, Scott. Everybody, this is Scott Medin. He was the one that referred Tammy to me, and I wanted to thank Scott personally. You know, one of the things that Tammy's book talked about was that, and it was, I thought was very important, is that when you help someone else, you help yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it was, I believe, you know, Scott's helping Tammy by referring her to me that I wanted to make sure comes back and helps Scott. So for those of you who are down there in Louisiana, in the French Quarter, having fun, if you wake up tomorrow and you need a massage by Scott, go ahead and visit his website,
scottmedin.com. He might not be able to do it tomorrow.
What's that?
No,
he
might
not be able to do it tomorrow.
I'm behaving myself.
Okay, all right.
Oh, you are? it's Mardi Gras.
I just come in to see the site.
Okay. Well, that's very responsible of you, Scott. So, but
well,
I
can remember more that way.
Yeah, I'm sure there's a lot, you know, it keeps you out of trouble, I'm sure, or less trouble.
Oh, yeah.
So.
Oh, yeah.
But anyway, Scott, I wanted to thank you personally for referring Tammy to me. And again, you know, we had I had a whole lot of fun reading her book, and I look forward to getting a little bit of that energy work that you do when I get down there in Louisiana on my book tour. So
definitely. And I wanted to let Tammy know I did actually start reading the book. I am ADD as all get out, and I made myself sit down and read the book, and what's frightening is Tammy knows a lot about what I went through over the past couple of years. It's almost as though she was talking directly to me, and like I shared with Robert, you know, my dear friend John Hadley had passed away, and dealing with the grief and just so much of the stuff that it. When I first started reading just right after the introduction, I mean, it was like she was talking right to me, and it was weird because I felt energy shifts as I was reading it, like things were happening inside, and I told Robert that just talking to him and connecting with him, I feel the shifts happening. It's like he's a catalyst for things to happen, and I think the same of that book, and it's pretty awesome. And I'm look forward to getting back into it.
Oh, I'm honored.
It is, and you know, and I noticed Scott. The loss of John or John's passing was one of the things that brought you. And you know, and today is the anniversary of that. So I think it's kind of a little special tribute to him that we're here talking about him. So
yeah, it was. I thought it was. Kind of interesting that this all happened today. But it's pretty cool, and I do allow myself to feel his presence from time to time, and it's getting better. It's definitely getting better.
Well, that's good. You know, and, you know, that's the one thing, you know, that, you know, Tammy's book really kind of points out is the fact that even though someone is in spirit, you know, that, you know, we can always have that connection and, mm-hmm. you know, our shared experiences aren't lost, you know. They can, they're the bonds that kind of hold us between the two worlds.
Yes, and there's ways you can talk to them. So, and I know John very well.
Oh, yeah.
Good.
Oh, yeah.
Well, we won't go into that anymore. but anyway, Scott.
I thank you for taking my call. I know you guys have much more to talk about, but I appreciate your giving me the time. And it's neat to connect with Tammy again. So I love her to death.
Well, I love you too, Scott.
Okay. Well, thanks, and enjoy the French Quarter there,
buddy. Take some pictures.
Will do. Yep. I will.
Okay. Thanks a lot.
You guys take care. Have a good night.
Okay.
Bye-bye. All right. You too.
Bye.
Bye. Yeah, that was really great. You know, I really appreciate when people refer, you know, people to me, and it's a delight, and I'm really glad, and I was glad that Scott was able, you know, did that, and when I found out, you know, it was the anniversary of John's passing, it's like, this is talked about, you know, a circle of life, you know. but that's good.
Absolutely.
I think it's a good thing.
It is.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Let's see now. Let me go ahead and go back to a few more things before we open up the lines to callers. Now, we do have folks in the queue that if you want to call in and ask Tammy a question, she's done readings for more than 30,000 people, so she's got a lot of experience. So if you want to call in and ask a question, you know, go ahead and get in the queue. If you are in the queue and you haven't pressed 1, you want to ask a question, make sure to press 1 so I know that I get that little indication there that you want to ask. Okay, let's see. Let me go on to, the help to others. One of the things that I noticed a lot is that William many times describes our role here or journey here as like a play, like an actor in a play with props and that kind of thing. You mind talking a little bit about that? Because, you know, I've often looked at it that way too, and I was, you know, kind of pleasantly surprised to see that point of view coming across.
Well, what he wanted to emphasize is we have ownership. You're the director of your play. The script can change once it's anointed with the Holy Spirit, God, whatever you want to call it, the higher self. But, because a lot of times I would say, you're really repeating yourself. He says, we have to. And his theory is that you have to take ownership that you're creating everything. Even as messy as it can be, you're creating that. And it's all a lesson. And you're going to learn through joy or pain.
Yeah, I was going to say, you know, that was, I think in the moment-to-moment one, it was talked about to be okay the way that things are now, to own your experience with gratitude, even if it's not where you want to be.
Yes, and you know how hard that is for all of us? To
yes,
say,
I
hey,
do.
I'm happy the way it is right now. Yay-hoo!
Yeah.
And we don't have a lot of
and
patience.
I don't think it says... Well, I don't think it really said that you're happy. I think gratitude is a little bit different. Just being grateful.
Gratitude.
I think, you know, yeah.
And to know that you created that. Just the way it is in this moment, where you're living, who you're with, who you're not with, and what you're doing even for a living. I mean, you created that, and you've got to be grateful for that.
Yeah. Yeah, I was... you know, when I mean, that was one of those things that I wrote down, too, that I really thought was an important point to be made. And since we're in that chapter, there was one of the things that you do, first of all, also is that in addition to, like, you asking questions and then William giving answers, many times he will have you relate personal experiences that you've had with former clients.
Right.
Can you kind of go into a little bit of details, you know, why that aspect was included?
Well, I think he wanted to share stories and to make it more personal, more intimate. And what was really very interesting to me, because it kept giving confirmation to me, is he would tell me to tell stories I forgot about. I'm like, oh my God, I forgot about that story. And he would tell me to share stories related to whatever the principle was so it would have more meaning, so people could relate to the story and say, yeah, I had that experience. Because I've got people calling me and saying, I can relate to that story. And what's happening now on the planet is people want to hear the stories. They don't want to be talked to anymore.
Right, yeah. I understand. I mean, that's kind of how I wrote my book. I just felt like it was a natural, you know, because that's, I don't know, to me it's more interesting, you know, to read a story. I mean, you know, and, you know, as far as all of the books that I've read, those that I remember most are those that are stories and also those that really deal with emotions, you know, an emotional
aspect. And it's more connecting. So I think the reason he used the stories because it's more connecting to all of us, plus that was my history, was working with all my clients, and he used it.
Yeah, and I could tell that, you know, in your book there were a couple of them that you hadn't remembered, and when I read that, my thought was like, you know, not only is, you know, he trying to get his point across for the general public, but this was also for Tammy, you know, to recognize that Tammy and her journey was all a very important piece of all this big puzzle.
Yeah, I had some really aha moments, especially, I think one of the biggest aha, one of them was my sister's story, and how that came back to me and made me believe in love. And I'm like, oh, my God, I didn't even get that, you know. So that that blew me.
Now that one, we can go ahead. Why don't we go ahead and share that one? I mean, since you did your book, I'm sure your sister doesn't mind. But why don't you go ahead and share that one? Because I think that, like you say, that was like a, I think it was one of the most important of the stories.
Yeah. What happened was, and my sister has given me permission about this. My sister started Lending Tree from a dream I had. I woke up at 7 o'clock in the morning, which I never do, and I had a dream that this guy was going to call her and ask her to move to Northern California, and they were going to, I didn't know the name of the business, but they were going to start one of the biggest lending companies in the world. And I woke up straight up out of bed, called her, and my sister never gets up at 7 o'clock either. She's up at 10 o'clock, 9, 10 o'clock. So for both of us to even get up and answer the phone, and her answer the phone, was a miracle. And I told her, I said, a guy's going to call you in a half hour, and he's going to offer to partner with you with the biggest lending company, and you need to take it. And he called her in a half hour from Modesto, California, which is Northern California, offered her partnership, and she moved. And in 5 years, they had the biggest lending company in the world. They had 1,500 franchises. And my sister at the time was a workaholic. And the one thing about her is she could make money, but she could never bring in anybody in to love her, right, because she didn't love herself. And she always brought in the most difficult relationships you could imagine. And so I think it was 2008, my sister's company fell apart. They didn't buy the, and this is not in the book, but they actually did not buy the name Lending Tree. They forgot to buy the name legally, which is crazy. So what happened is somebody actually bought it, and they had to go through the legal system, and they ended up losing the name of Lending Tree and ended up having to come up with another name, which they, Mortgage Tree Lending or some other name, but it didn't work. The company fell apart. My sister lost her marriage, her company. I mean, everything just went upside down for her. So my sister's health was really bad at the time, and in the book too it says, but it's like her soul wanted change. So it was, she had the 2x4. It's like she didn't create the change, so the external created it from what she needed inside of herself. And so what happened is she literally lost everything, moved back home with my mother for a year, and she actually got so sick and she couldn't even eat. She had a feeding tube in her stomach. And she was dying. I mean, she had a breakdown. She was dying. She was falling apart. And I can only say the love that I have for my sister is like, I can't even explain it. It's like we are on a soul connection. I deeply, deeply love my sister. And so my mother called me and said, you need to move her to Phoenix because I don't know what to do anymore, and she's not progressing. And so we ended up moving her to Phoenix to be around me because I coach for a living. And I brought her into my office one day, and I said, can you just do one affirmation for me? Just one. If you don't believe in any of this, can you just do one affirmation? And I said, and I need you to say it 5 times a day. And she said, I will do it. I mean, because she just wanted to have love in her life. And I knew mm-hmm. if she didn't find that love within herself that she would actually leave the planet. And she really mm-hmm. looked like she was going to go. I mean, just looked like she was getting ready to cross over. And I'm like, I'm not going to have her go yet. I don't want her to go yet. So she started doing the affirmation. And the affirmation was, I'm now ready to receive love and to be taken care of, and I'm now ready to love and take care of somebody else. The number one thing that I see in my practice is people don't know how to receive love. It's the biggest problem, I think, in the world. Hmm. And my sister started saying that 5 times a day. And what happened, like, it was like she had a 9 life. She totally started transforming just from that one affirmation. And then, like, about three months into it, she said, you know, I think I want to start dating again. And I said, okay. So we got her on Match.com, and I said, well, I want to be part of this process because I wanted to see if she shifted enough to where she could attract the right kind of person because you attract where you're at. Well, she started actually attracting better guys. And then one day she attracted Don, and it was from Match.com, and he came over and took her, their first date was a weekend in Flagstaff. So it wasn't even a date night. It was a whole weekend, which is funny. And she brought him back to my house on the Sunday that they got back, and I pulled her in my room, and we were jumping up and down because I read him, and I knew he was the guy for her. I knew that he would love her for her and not her money. I knew that this guy really wholeheartedly just loved her. And I had never seen that in her whole lifetime. And I just was so elated, happy. I mean, we were both like five-year-old kids in my back room jumping up and down, and he was waiting in the kitchen for us. And she actually just brought this man in from just that one affirmation. Well, and I spent time with him, and he said, you know what, I'm in love with your sister, and I don't want to wait. And it was like they met in like June, and they were married that March.
Wow.
It was like, I don't want to wait. I love her. I want to be with her.
That's very cool.
And you know what's so funny about this is my mom was mad at me because she thought, oh, my God, here goes Diana dating again, and she's going to be attracting what she attracted before. And I said, Mom, she's not the same. And so when my mom met Don, she fell in love with him just as much as I did.
That's great. And you wouldn't expect that from an online service. You know, that's not one of the typical things to happen.
Well, you know what? That's right. But it was that affirmation mm-hmm. that pulled them in, and their energy
right.
met. And it's like, now, if she dies, I will cry because I miss her, not because her life was so difficult.
Yeah, that's, you know, and that's one of the important things, you know, that you're talking about dying. You know, I mean, you talked about that in the book, you know, that.
Yes.
You know, when she passes on, you know, if she should go before you, you know, that would be the feeling. And, you know, and I had spoken to Scott earlier, too, about John, you know, and that was the kind of thing, you know, there was a heaviness, you know, with someone
yeah.
being, you know, not being here in the physical anymore, but it's just oh so important to be grateful for the time spent,
yes.
you know, and be
yes.
happy, you know, for that, and then, you know, and live here, you know,
yes.
and be joyous until the time you meet up again, you know.
Yes.
Don't rush things.
Well, and that's yeah. it, and it's like really enjoying each other because we don't know what tomorrow's going to bring. I mean, we really need to, you know, the one thing is, like you said, is have gratitude for being what's in your life right now. That's because when you really show up for what's in front of you, the rest starts coming to you.
Yep, absolutely.
And, you know, when you show up fully, that's when the universe says, you're appreciating what you have, so we're going to give you more of what, you know, divine order in your life.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's a beautiful thing.
It is. Now, I have two more topics I want to talk before we
okay.
have our break, and then we'll take
okay.
callers' questions.
All right.
The one other topic was, I noticed that William loved acronyms, or either he or you both loved acronyms.
I did. He loved them. I didn't really care for them, but he loved them.
Well, you know, I was a corporate trainer in, you know, earlier in life, and we just loved, I mean, you know, so every time I see, you know, an acronym pops up, it kind of takes me flashback to my corporate days, but I have to admit, they were real, it was kind of fun, you know, reading some of them. And one of them I have already used, I think, several times this past week.
Wonderful.
And that is, and that one is, let me read that, the, the comment from the book. It says, comparing anyone's journey to your own is the ego placing value on the value less.
Yes.
The family drama and suffering is all an act, ACT, acute craziness transference. And I have had several folks today that were acting crazy.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
And that just pops up every time, and I just laugh because it's like, okay, yeah, they're acting crazy. You know, and it, in both cases, it was truly transference. I mean, it was their craziness trying to put it, you know, onto me, you know, or onto my friends, you know, who I was talking with. So I loved that one.
Well, thank you. And you know, when I was writing those, I'm like, what? Because I can honestly say I'm an okay writer, but I'm not. The writing through this channel was phenomenal. And I would read them, and I'm like, oh, my Lord. Because it would just come in, I'm like, I can tell you, I was so amazed with what was coming through.
Yeah. Well, there was that one, and then another one that I really liked was Happy, Holding Absolute Peacefulness Presently Yours. So
yes.
I thought those were two that I really liked.
Well, thank you.
Now, I have to tell you, there's folks, there's only one other that we're going to talk about, and this is from Principle 2. So, and for all you folks listening, all the things that we talked about just right now, up till now, this 42 minutes, has been on Principle 1. So, and there are 12 principles, so if that gives you any kind of indication of what the rest of the book holds. But Principle 2 is, what can I do now? Okay. Let's see. Last Sunday, not even a week, I was visiting a friend. No, and first of all, and I had just finished that principle, reading about that principle on Saturday night.
So I
have to admit I didn't read it real quickly. But anyway, I finished Principle 2 on Saturday night, and it was called What Can I Do Now? Well, on Sunday, my partner and I were up visiting someone in the hospital in the upstate. And it got to be around lunchtime. It's like, okay, let's go ahead and grab lunch and then go back to the hospital. So we go out and stop at this one restaurant. Well, you know, it's Sunday in South Carolina, so you know, half the things aren't open. So anyway, our first choice in the restaurant wasn't available. So the second choice is like, okay, well, there's a Chinese place just down the street, and let's go to that one. Mm-hmm. Well, we go to it, and there's no one in there except for the owner, a Chinese couple, and their son, and he was probably about 7 or 8 years old. Well, we order and sit down, and then all of a sudden I hear son say, what can I do? You know,
oh, wow.
You know, and he goes, what can I do? And I swear, Cammie, he had to have said it 100 times. And
oh,
it was, he said no other words than, what can I do? Nothing.
Wow.
And I was just like, so, you know, Roy's sitting there, because Roy, I said, remember I told you about the book, Tammy? And I said, I just finished her principle too. And what can I do now? And he just looked, he just laughed. And I said, well, you know, in her book, you know, it talks about, very often, you know, to look for real-life examples of these principles, you know. And, I mean, it got to the point where, I mean, I wanted to go up and tell the kid, you know, listen, or give that kid, I did say, give that kid something to do. And then when his mother came over to deliver the food, I said, you know what, he can wash the car if he wants something to do. And she just laughed, and, you know.
Oh,
but,
that
is anyway.
Hysterical.
It was. I mean, it was I laughed. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and needless to say, my dream had been very vivid lately. So of course, my intention going to sleep that night, if my message was, "What can I do?" You know, so that was my kind of my.
I love it.
Going
and
to
I
sleep.
Think that was a message for you.
Oh, it was. It was. And, you know, and I mean, I laughed. I mean, it was amazing because, he literally said, "What can I do?" Now, he didn't say no, but I mean, it was, "What can I do?" And
right.
He said no other words. No other,
wow.
Nothing. Not even hi,
wow.
Boom, you know. So,
well, William
but anyway.
Was working through him.
He was. But, you know, and that's what I think, I mean, that's what happened several times while reading your book. There were, and that was like the most blatant, but there were a couple occasions that I had just finished reading the principle, and I swear to God, the next day something came up, and it was like an affirmation of what that principle was. It was kind of like, you know, we're going to make sure, Robert, that you got what Tammy wrote.
Wow.
So
anyway, I love it. I love it.
Yeah. It was funny. So anyway, that was my experience with your book.
Well, you know what? As soon as you say, "What can I do now?" or "What can I do?", you take yourself out of principle one.
Out of that, yeah. Out of
that, you go directly to principle two. As soon as you say, "What can I do now?", you change the frequency.
Yeah. Well, isn't it the idea that you open yourself up to accepting guidance?
Yes.
And you don't necessarily, and it's kind of a surrender in a way. You know, it's like, okay. And I, you know, what I got from that particular one, and it was very interesting. I'll even share a little bit more.
Okay.
Now, that dream, and folks, I haven't shared this on Facebook or anything, but here it is. That night, you know, I went to bed. You know, what can I do? That was my intention for the dream state. You know, and I had one of the most disturbing dreams I've had in years. I was attacked. I was in a home, and I was being attacked, literally. I mean, and it was a kill or be killed situation. And I actually had to kill someone in my dream. I mean, it was truly, you know, and that anybody who knows me knows that is not Robert, you know. And when I woke up, it was... To me, it was just very interesting because, I mean, it was amazing. And since that happened, I have had two experiences, one where someone, you know, kind of went off on me, you know, because they just, some people. It was one of those people were acting. You know, that was one of those crazy transfers,
yes.
You know. And then just tonight I saw that a friend kind of had, a verbal attack kind of at her. You know, and what was interesting about the whole thing was that in the dream, I mean, I ended up, you know, I don't remember exactly who I killed, but I remember killing someone. So when I woke up from the dream, it was just clear to me that it was kind of like I was fighting back, you know, and I wasn't going to allow myself to be beaten down, killed by these external forces.
Okay.
So,
but
anyway.
You know what I get is you were killing, you were letting go of an old pattern.
Hmm.
So, because dream state is all about working, the soul's working through in symbology, but you're actually working through a lot of your fears. And I think what you did was you were releasing.
Yeah, it was. Lately, the dream state for me has just been wild, and I've gotten some really wonderful messages. And again, in that particular one, it was one of those cases where, you know, I guess if I stood up for myself, I guess if I were to, you know, translate that, and rather than just allow things to happen, you know, because I'm a Pisces, and we don't like conflict, and we like cooperation, and we like harmony, you know.
Right.
But
I'm
every,
a Pisces
every now
too.
And then. Okay, so we know that, you know, those are the kind of things that we try to have, and you know, and but anyway, I mean, and you know, and I wouldn't, I wasn't, I mean, it didn't really disturb me to the point of, like, I really felt I was going to go out and kill someone or someone was going to try and kill
me. Right.
I mean, I truly recognized it for being, you know, like you say, a pattern or something or shifting. But it was dramatic enough to, for me to remember it, you know, very clearly,
yeah,
very vividly. And it was, to me, it was interesting that that was the type of dream that I had in response to my, you know, what can I do now?
Right.
You know? And then again, like I said, not more than 24 hours later, I had, you know, a couple examples of that where that happened, where I, you know, just basically stood up for myself, said, listen, this is the way that it is, you know, and,
mm-hmm,
and you know, if you like it, I mean, if you don't, you know, I'm sorry, but, you know, that's life, you know.
Right, right.
Anyway.
Amazing.
So, yeah, so, but anyway, we are actually, gosh, 50 minutes into the show already, and we've got folks on the line that want to talk to you.
Okay.
So we're going to take a short break, and then when we come back, we'll be taking callers' questions. So everybody stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Here's what Heather had to say about joy potential.
Our lives have many chapters, and some transitions are scarier than others. Fortunately, the main character in your book comes in contact with people on a new job that he thought he would never have to do at his age. They listen and talk with each other, and the process they go through is magic and life-changing. Listening is one of the most important skills anyone can have and a skill anyone can develop. I so enjoyed John and Leonora and remember thinking while I was reading the book, are they real? Some people help us put our training wheels on, and some people help us take our training wheels off. Anyway, I did so enjoy the book. Thank you.
Hi, Robert. Evelyn here from treeofenchantments.com, my little online magical forest shop. And talk about magic. Boy, joy potential is truly magical. This story about a week when everything turns to a new life path, speaking of fear turning into excitement, startling new connections with others, breathtaking new thought patterns, really, I could go on and on. The ending is such a surprise. Honestly, I couldn't put it down. And when I finished reading it, I wanted more. You don't come across books like this often in life. No matter where you are, joy potential will open awareness and simply delight. Thank you, Robert, for a really wonderful book. I look forward to the next book and to the next one and the one after that. I hope many, many people read Joy Potential. They will be very glad they did.
For more information, visit www.joybook.me. That's joybook.me, or call 843-808-0777.
Now today, again, my very special guest is Tammy J. Holmes, and you can find out more about Tammy. She's a medium, author, and coach. And you can find out more about her at her website, which is rememberingoneonceagain.com. And again, I do have a direct link to her website in the show page description. And with that, let me go ahead and welcome Tammy back. Hey, Tammy.
Hi.
Okay. Well, anyway, so folks, if you haven't realize by now, I highly recommend Tammy's book. It was, again, a lot of fun reading. It was easy. And Tammy, there was one other point. And in one spot, you talked about a friend who went to funerals.
Yes.
First of all, I have a friend who did that, and I am not a funeral person. I mean, personally, I just don't like them, you know. I mean,
right.
I think a lot of it is the dogma that goes along with it, and, you know, and I also recognize, hey, you know, they're just in spirit, you know, no big deal. You know, I don't have to be there to be able to connect with them. But can you explain that, how that, what that person's perspective was?
Well, she's a dear friend of mine, and she's actually the She's an angel in my life. She was the first person that said, hey, you need to try and do readings. And so I would go to her house on weekends and started doing readings out of her house in Los Angeles. But she really loves funerals, and she said the reason she loves it so much is she goes there and she feels so much love because everybody's there to honor the person who's passed on. And she said it just so much love, and she enjoys it. And she really does enjoy funerals. I mean, she loves going to them. I mean, and I asked her, I said, are you okay if I share this story? She was, absolutely. But she said she loves it because she feels love there, and she sees the honor, and she said it gives her hope of how she can show up better in her life.
Oh, okay. Well, we have a person in chat, Amy, who says she does. She loves them too, and does theme funerals, you know. So,
wow.
But you know, I just and it's interesting because you know, up until that point, you know, when this person now the person I know is you know someone in their 70s, and you know they're in a very close community. So very often, the person who is lying there. Is related to someone who knows someone who knows someone, you know,
right.
Related to someone, you know.
Right.
So, but I have known her to go to funerals where she didn't know the person, and one of them was an unusual kind of funeral, and so I'm probably kind of like the one that Amy would do, a theme one. But I mean, to me, it was just bizarre. I mean, I thought, wow, you know. And then once I read that, I said, well, you know. I can see that, you know, I can, because what's really important to this person is connection.
Mm-hmm.
To this person,
that's
you know, all of the social connections are very important to her. So so then it made sense. You know, it's like, okay, but I still have difficulty getting by the dead body. And,
right,
and
right. Well,
Kathy in the chat room was the same way.
Yeah,
so.
And my friend is all about, it makes her, she gets... it makes her want to be a better person.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I can understand that, yeah.
So she just, she says, I just love that it inspires me. And she loves the connection, that part, too, of how everybody's connecting. You know?
Yeah.
And people are
yeah.
real at funerals. It's, you know, it's not the, you know, it's not the fluff stuff. It's very real. And it's deep.
Yeah,
and she
yeah
loves
it can.
It.
Yeah, it can. And now, the last one I went to, you know, I mean, I was able to see that and sense that and like that, but it also had the religious dogma attached to it.
Yes.
And to me, that's just, oh, it just, it's kind
but
of like
But you know
a,
what? You got to even let that go because whatever.
Oh, I know. Yeah.
You know, it's tough sometimes, but you got to just say, you know what? Truth is truth, and there's love even in that. And if that's what gets a person on their path, then.
Yes,
oh,
I understand.
Yeah.
Yeah, I have, you know, and I allow that, but
yes.
To me, it's, you know, I mean, I'm not from the South naturally, so
right.
I was born here, and there is a, you know, I happen to be right in that belt of the
I love the South
Bible Belt, but, yeah,
and it's real different it there. It's very very different there.
Yeah, it is. But let's go ahead and get to some callers. Now,
okay.
Now when they call in, you want to get their name and location and a question?
Yes, and then I want to say one thing. All of you order the book online through my website, I'll personally sign it for you. But if they, you know, if they want to just say their name and where they're from, and they can ask a question. Or
okay,
they
great.
Can just not ask anything, and I can read them.
Okay, that sounds great. Let's go ahead, and we're going to start with our first Skype caller who's been on for a long time, and it's Trish from New Hampshire. Hey, Trish.
Hi, Tammy. Thank you for taking my call.
Hi, Trish.
My question is around career, and by the way, I really enjoyed listening to the stories about your book.
Oh, thank you so very much. Okay, career. You know what I feel like? You're not clear on what you want to do right now, so nothing's really showing up the way it needs to. I feel like it's been kind of, I just feel like it's agitating. I just feel like you're agitated right now that it's not working the way you want it to. But I also feel like whatever you were doing is not what you're supposed to be doing. And
okay.
And I feel like you're going in, this, between now and over the next 2 years, you're going to go through a complete shift in work. And how you're going to make a living or how you're going to receive money. It's going to be completely different. So what I would do if I were you, I would just say, show me where to go. Show me where to go that's going to allow my heart to sing. And I'm now ready to hear it three ways, and I need this work by whatever date you need this work by. And I think you're being challenged a little bit right now because you've got to realize your security is not in the work. It's in you.
I'm sorry, I didn't get the last part.
You got to shift that your security is not in the actual job. It's in yourself.
Oh, okay.
That you're the source of your income. It's not the actual job.
Got it. So do you?
And
see,
I would just say, whatever makes my heart sing, I'm open to. But I get these next 2 years, you're going to be really going through a lot of changes for the better.
Do you see any opportunities before 2 years? Or?
Well, I think by June, May, June of this year, you're going to have new work.
Okay.
And you need new work. I feel like wherever you've been working has been affecting your health, too.
Right, right.
And so now you're going to let all that go, I think, by May, June. And I would every day, just like my sister, say the affirmation five times, I'm now ready to do what makes my heart sing, and I'm now ready to hear it three ways, and I need it by whatever date you need it by. So you could do it by March 1st. So you can change it from May till March, but you... If you say that five times a day, it'll come in quicker.
Great. Okay. Well, thank you very much.
Okay.
You're welcome.
Yep. And Trish, just remember, Trish, opportunities happen all the time. So really, mm-hmm. be open to them. You know, one of the things I notice a lot is people miss a lot of opportunity because they just don't take that little extra step to check something out. So just be extra aware. Okay.
Yes.
Okay,
and you'll
great.
Get a nudge, and you need to react to it. And I put in my book to ask to hear it three ways, so that way you won't miss it.
Oh, interesting.
Or,
okay.
Yeah. Like in my case, I heard that Chinese boy 100 times. You know? Okay. Thanks, Trish, for calling.
Thank you.
Okay. That's very important, I think, like you said, to really ask for it and make that a verbal affirmation.
Yes, and you know what? And don't be connected to how the form needs to look or how it's dressed up, because it's not mm-hmm. about it's not about the props. It's about what you need while you're there.
Yes, and you know that's one thing that I think that that I got from the book was it talks about. You know, basically everything around us is a prop, you know,
yes.
to help us kind of really write our own play, our
right.
own role in the play. And,
right.
Okay. Well, let's go
Pretty
ahead
awesome.
And we're going to move. It is. Let me go ahead and we're going to move on to Kathy from Maryland. Hello, Kathy.
Hi. How are you tonight?
Hi.
Great. Thank you.
I'm going to get your book.
Yay. You will love it. I'm
Which,
biased, but you will love it.
Where do I get it? On your website?
Yes. Go to Tammy J. Holmes or Remembering One Once Again, and you can order it off my website, and I'll personally sign it.
Okay. My husband will
Great.
Say, another book!
Well, you know, Kathy, tell him that Robert Reed has read dozens of books lately, and
yes.
he said that if anyone, you know, that one really needs to be. So, but... Okay, I'm sorry. Do you have a particular question?
Yeah.
Okay.
Go for it.
I'm planning on retiring maybe next year, the beginning of next year.
Okay.
And I do Reiki, but I'm also looking for another healing modality.
You know what I see around you? Do you love to garden flowers?
Yes.
That's your other modality for you.
Okay.
They want you gardening. They want you planting. They want you growing. I just feel like you're going to get you're so empathic, and oh, my Lord. They just can download for you. So I think your next modality right now should be gardening.
Well, that's in the summer, but.
But I get that. But even if you can be around plants in the house, I just feel like you just need to be around nature, plants, just all around you.
Well, I do. I have plants, tons. I have
and
to bring them. I have to bring them in for the winter.
Okay, and the other thing I get, too, is your hands-on. So maybe your other modality will be massaging or hands-on healing in some way.
Well, I do Reiki now.
Okay, but I get more hands-on, like massage or something more with your hands.
More with my hands, okay.
And one of the things I get, like, I don't know if you've heard of Rosalind Briere. She does healing energies out of California. You might want to check her work out because I feel like that might be the next way for you.
What's her last name?
Rosalind Briere. And her book was Wheels of Light. So Google Wheels of Light. But her healing ways, I think, would really work for you.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you.
You're welcome.
Hey, thank you, Kathy.
Okay.
Okay, so you know, one of the benefits of having all of those connections, Tammy, is, boy, I bet you're one heck of a reference area.
Absolutely. And what's good with my group of people is we all refer each other out, which is the way to do it.
It is. And, you know, that's the beauty of knowing, I think, the unique nature of people because, I don't know. I mean, I know a lot of intuitive people, and whenever I hear someone ask a particular question, it's like, you know who's really good at that is so-and-so,
yes.
You know?
Yes.
So that's a wonderful way to be able to help co-create something.
It is, because when you help another, you're helping yourself. And the thing is, you know when they're your clients because you can't wait to work with them. And if I don't have that feeling, then I know they're not my client.
Yeah, exactly. Well, good. But you know where to send them.
Yes, I do. I absolutely do, yes.
Great. Okay, we're going to go from Maryland to California, and we're going to take Sharon. Hello, Sharon.
Hi, Robert. Thank you for taking my call. Hi, Tammy.
Hi, Sharon. What part of California are you in?
I'm south of L.A. in a town called Yorba Linda.
I love it.
Yorba Linda. That was Richard Nixon's birthplace.
Wow.
Yeah, I haven't been there yet.
Oh, okay.
That's on my list of sightseeing things. I'm sorry.
So how can we help you?
Oh, Tammy, my question is around career, too. I'm also a healer, and I just kind of am wondering to expand and what do you see around that?
You know what? I hear sound around you. Do you do sound healing, any of that?
No, I haven't incorporated any sound.
You should, because I just keep hearing music around you, like angels singing. So you want to incorporate that. What you need to do, and this isn't just psychic, but they're telling me to tell you this, is, you know, this is the two parts of being in, you know, when you do healing work or reading or whatever. I'd love to see you market better. And I think this is really the easiest way to build your business. You know, and you probably have like 50 or 100 business cards and start handing them out to everybody that you know. And then once you get them in, tell them they get, you know, a percentage off if they refer another client. I just feel right now you're building your practice.
Yes.
And you're very good. So, do you have a place in your home that you work out of?
Well, not really. I've kind of moved more towards animals recently, more than people.
Okay, but are you working out of your house?
Whenever the opportunity arises. I don't have much going on just yet.
Okay, because that's what I see, is I see you working more out of your house, people coming to your home.
Oh, okay.
Which is good, too. But I see your practice building. It's going to take about, if you get out there and give the cards out, it'll take you less than 2 months to build it up. And I love you working with animals, but I think you're going to work with people, too, because it's all connected.
Yes,
because sometimes animals take on the frequencies of their owners, and they need the work just as much as the animal does.
True.
So you'll be working on both.
Okay.
And I would just really start putting your card out there. talk to people, I think you can build it. And this is a part of you that's got to, you know, you'll just have to build that muscle where you just have to approach people without being pushy, but you'll know who to connect to. And one of the sayings that I say from the Course in Miracles every day, which really helps, is show me where to go, what to say, and to whom, and may everybody I talk to today, may they feel better and I feel better afterwards. And then that way, you're showing up to love them. You're going to be paid to love and help heal them.
Yes, yes, I love that. Thank you.
You're welcome.
All right. And Sharon, boy, sound is would be such a wonderful thing to help expand. I mean, there's I have several pieces, you know, that really are critical for me to kind of quiet my mind and that kind of thing. So, I mean, I strongly believe in the healing power of sound.
You know, it's interesting. A while ago, I was led to Kitaro, and I had never even heard of him, and I was just kind of pushed right to him in a library.
Wow.
That's beautiful music. Yeah, I have a couple of his CDs. And then I have one that was, it's called Vibrational Healing, and it's simply seven tones, like, you know, the scale. And I'm not sure how the gentleman did, you know, what if he used the bowls or not. But anyway, to me, at night, I turn that on, and it just, every time my mind starts to get busy, you know, and kind of go through all of the madness of the day, I just kind of, again, focus my attention right on that sound, and I'm out. I'm out in no time flat. So.
Perfect.
But anyway, okay. Well, thanks,
thank
Sharon.
Well, check on the sound healing, because she's going to be actually making the sounds herself.
Oh.
While she's doing the healing.
Okay.
Hey.
Wow.
Okay.
Well, we want to know about that. So let us know. Keep in touch. Let us know how that works and where are you finding that stuff, okay?
Okay. Thank you. Namaste.
Thanks, Sharon. Namaste.
Namaste.
Good. All righty. Let's see here. We're at 15 more minutes to the show, and we've got, looks like, two or three more callers, so let's go ahead and take the next one. And the next one is Karen from Florida. Hello, Karen.
Wonderful.
Hey, how are you, Robert? Hey, Tammy.
Hi, Karen.
My question is concerning a relationship or either a general reading. Whatever comes easier.
Okay, so about a relationship? Or okay.
Yeah.
Okay. You know, the first thing I get around you is I feel like you're passive in the relationship. You got to take your power back.
Okay, I haven't been in a relationship
coming in.
Okay.
You have one coming in, but I want you to be more in your power with it. Don't be so accommodating.
Okay.
You know, stay in your power, because I feel like, and I know you haven't been in a relationship for a long time, and they're telling me over 8 years?
Yeah.
Okay. And they're saying, but the next guy coming in, because you've got a guy coming in, I would say, actually this month, February, maybe towards the end of the month, you have a guy coming in. And he's really going to take a liking to you. You're going to like him. But don't give him the power. You've got to co-create with this relationship.
Okay.
And just don't lose yourself in it.
Yeah, I hear you.
Okay.
A lot of women, I mean, I don't mean that in a terrible way, but a lot of women do become who they want them to be as opposed to who they really are.
Right. Just be yourself and don't be too accommodating. And this is one of my sayings. The relationship needs to complement your life, not complicate it.
I hear you.
Boy,
that goes
like
for everybody.
I know. We all need to hear that, right?
Yeah.
Every relationship, not just the person. I mean, you know, all of our interactions with people.
Yeah, with any form. It should complement your life, not complicate it. Like you said, Robert, act. That word act. That's so funny.
That's funny.
I know. That's one of my favorite acronyms now, boy. So anyway,
is this a person that I know or somebody?
Nobody you know yet. You haven't met him yet.
Oh, okay.
When you meet him, you're not going to even remember your name. It's going to hit you pretty hard.
Oh, and, Lordy, that's not a good thing.
Yes, it will.
Oh, you'd be starstruck, kind of like, you know.
I'm 50,
kind of a,
and I remember
though.
How those go.
Yeah, but don't. But you're not the same, okay? Enjoy it. Just stay in your power, and it'll. This relationship will stay there.
I have a question. I also was led to Kataro, and I have some health issues, and it seems to quiet down, and I don't know what it does. It, like, talks to your soul, and my dog sleeps with me, too, and when I turn it on, he, like, settles right down and sleeps like a baby.
It's the energy. Music has frequency and energy, and it's moving through your cellular and your etheric and every part of your being. It's healing you.
Okay.
And the other thing they're telling me to tell you is you got to get out more.
Yeah, I went back to work after being out of work for 17 months and went through a lot of drama and trauma, and I mean, my whole foundation was shook up a little bit, and because of working long during the week, on the weekends I'm just exhausted.
I know, but you got to get out a little more, socialize a little bit.
Okay.
You know, and you're a sweet soul. I can't tell you what a sweet soul you are.
Oh, thank you, Tammy.
You're welcome.
All right. Well, thank you so much for the reading. I'm very grateful. Thank you, Tammy.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Robert. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Karen. Appreciate you calling.
Bye.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Oh, that's right. She is sweet. You
she
can
is
just tell.
Very sweet.
Any guy's going to be lucky to get her.
That's right.
So that's it. All right. Okay, we're going to go ahead and move on to the next caller, and it's someone from your neck of the woods, Tammy. They're from Phoenix, and it's Lisa.
Yay!
Hello,
hey,
Lisa.
Tammy.
Hey, Lisa.
Hi.
How are you doing, honey?
I'm doing good. And first of all, I want to just plug your book a little bit because, as you know, I've done coaching with you, and it was like having all of your coaching plus more wrapped up in a package. So it's just been fabulous to have it accessible. And, so I just want to say thank you for that, for making that so accessible. You know what my question is? My question is where do you see me in my career?
Mm-hmm.
And this time I want a reading from you, not from me.
Okay, you got it. Yes, and I have to share, Lisa's phenomenal. One of the most intuitive clients I've ever worked with in all my years, so I have to plug that. You know what I see? The first thing I see, and I know this is, I think you're going to be, I see papers. So I just feel like I see you sitting at, maybe in your house, but I see you working out of your house. And they're showing me papers on the desk or you're flipping through papers.
That would be my messy desk in my office. Yes, that would be the truth.
Okay, so whatever this work's coming in that we've been trying to create or see,
right.
It's actually coming in now. And I get by March you're going to be doing this.
Okay.
And I'm not sure what it is, but it's going to be out. I see you working out of your home.
Okay.
And I see you doing papers at this desk in your house. And you're going to be very happy. And I actually feel like you might be a little overwhelmed because I feel like you're going to be really busy.
Yep.
But and you know what I get, too? You're only going to work like 25, 30 hours a week, whatever this is.
That's all I want to work. Yep.
Amen to that?
Amen. Perfect.
To that. Perfect. Thank you.
Sounds good.
You're welcome. And Lisa's actually in my book, too, by the way. Everyone on the phone.
Oh, okay.
Yes, this
where is she?
She's the one that helped me with the little boy, Carter.
Okay. Well, nice to speak with you, Lisa. Now I can put a voice with the person in the book.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well,
and you're
going to
be very happy with
this
business. I got to tell her this. Whatever this business is, it's going to double in 6 months.
Okay.
Ooh, hold on. Very
and
good,
I
Lisa.
See her overwhelmed but happy, and I feel like her husband's going to help her with it, too.
Okay.
And
thanks,
I love
Lisa.
You, Lisa.
Well, thank you, and I just want to say that the about in the book, it just, you know, intuition comes sometimes. You don't even think about how it comes to you, and it just comes to you, and you don't see its significance. And so that was just an instance in the book where Tammy asked me a question, and I answered it with the first thing that came off the top of my head.
Mm-hmm.
And then I thought about it later, and I thought, oh, well, it's really simple. And then I called her back and said, here's what I'm getting, and that ended up being the right, you know, the right thing to do at the time. But it was very, you know, especially when you don't really think you have intuitive abilities, you know, it's just really hard even to recognize that you have those abilities yourself. So.
Yeah, you know, Lisa, I mean, that was one of my biggest challenges, was trying to recognize or distinguish the difference between your just your internal talking with yourself and, mm-hmm. and those intuitive hits. And like you, it's one of those times that where it kind of just hits you all of a sudden out of left field, where you know, well, I wasn't thinking like that, and so that had to come from somewhere.
Right, right.
Yeah. So that's great. That's a wonderful unfolding and discovery when that happens.
Mm-hmm. And she definitely has it.
All right. Exactly. Well, thanks for calling, Lisa. We appreciate your
okay,
support.
Thank you, Lisa.
Thank you.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Have a good night.
Okay, bye.
Okay, here, let's see. We have just about 8 more minutes, and I think we have time for 1, maybe 2 callers, but we're going to go from Arizona to Pennsylvania.
Wonderful.
We have Sarah Jane from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Hello, Sarah Jane.
Hello. Hi, Tammy.
Hi, honey. How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
Good.
I just wanted to tell all the listeners out there that the book is a must-read, and that Tammy has helped myself and my entire family with her wonderful coaching skills and intuition and her generosity and love. And she also has a great CD out there for chakra healing that has helped me physically feel so much better. And her son's a great musician, and just by playing that every night when I go to bed, it's just totally transformational, and I love it. And I, too, was at a Kitaro concert probably 17 years ago and love him. And there's another great healing CD out there called Life in Balance, and they travel the country and they do the bowls, and their music is very powerful and soothing and healing. And I just wanted to put that out there, too. So I love Tammy with all my heart and soul, and I'm so blessed that my doctor, Dr. Valerie Donaldson, introduced the two of us, and my life is so much better because of her.
Well, so is mine, because I know you too, honey.
Well, I thank you.
Well, this is just wonderful. I just love all this. It is. I'm glad to get other people's confirmation of what I was saying, that she's just wonderful and her book is wonderful. Mm. And I'm glad that you brought up about her CD, Sarah Jane. I appreciate that, because I failed to continue to mention that as part of, you know, something that was available from the store at Tammy's website. So thank you for mentioning that.
My pleasure, and I wish all good health and happiness and lots of love to all the listening viewers, and really encourage them to embrace her book, because it's really funny. In reading it, it seems like your life does get better. And I know that sounds crazy, but it really, it happens in a very, very short period. A person that I was very attached and love in my life, you know, and it's been a few years, has resurfaced, and, you know, it's just amazing. And it's just, I think it's the ripple effect of the miracles and just opening your heart up to, you know, practicing the principles and change and gratitude and forgiveness and whatever. But it's just it's a miracle book. And so is Tammy. So I hope everybody gets to meet her when she goes traveling around the country to all the Barnes & Nobles and other bookstores, because she is truly an angel, and she's authentic, and she's here for all the right reasons.
Wow, thank you.
Boy, I think now, Tammy, you can go ahead and just about the close of the show, you can go ahead and snip this. That's great. Okay. You're on the line of your commercials.
Well, I love you, Sarah Jane, with all my heart. Well, Robert, I can't thank you enough for having me. It's such a joy to be on the call with you, and hopefully when I do get out there, we can meet up. I just would love to meet you in person and hang with you, and I just feel like I got a new friend.
Well, thank you. I look forward to that, and likewise, I'm going to be heading your way too. So, hopefully, we'll be able to meet in Arizona as well. I mean, I would love that.
You'll have to contact me. You'll have to contact.
I certainly will. Well, we're connected now on Facebook. So,
I love that
so
too.
So folks listening, if you want to, be sure to connect with Tammy and myself. We're there on Facebook, and a lot of sharing goes on there as well.
Yes.
Is there any kind of, we're down to the last a few minutes, so is there any kind of maybe final closing comments that you might have for people, just in kind of what you're seeing, happening right now for people, and what's the most important thing for people to kind of focus on, in your opinion?
Well, William's here too, but what we're going through right now is the ascension process, and I mean, everybody's talked about it, but because it's such an intense time right now on our planet, we really do need help. We can't do it by ourselves anymore. Like the Course says, we're in the battlefield until we pull ourselves out. And I really think this book was written, with William, with the intention of to pull us out of our fear, to pull us out of the struggle, and to know that there's another way, and that that we're born to do great things in this lifetime. We're born to be the 22% that we need to change the world, so that we don't need to be here anymore, that we don't need the struggle. And I'm a believer with William, because he's so passionate about believing that we can do this. And I, with the principles in the book, I really believe if you read the book and follow the principles, your life will completely change. And to know that, Robert, myself, and, we're here. If you want to email me, my email is homes.tammy85@yahoo.com. Or you want to call me, I do readings, I do coaching. If you need help to get yourself moving so that you can stop the patterns, so that you don't have to be your stories anymore, now's the time to do it. We don't have time to wait anymore. One of the, if I can say this real quick, one of the talks I had with one of the speakers at my event, who I fell in love with, Jean Houston, said that if we don't come into our greatness, this planet's not going to be here much longer. Because we have to change. It's not, we don't have the next 20, 30 years to be in our neuroses or in our smallness or in our fear anymore. It's time to show up. And one of the things that I got, not just writing the book, but when I started doing readings, was I kept thinking, can I do this? Am I good enough? And the thing I get told over and over was, it's not about you. We just want to use you to communicate love. Can you get out of the way? And the thing is, we have to start showing up differently in order, if we can't do it for ourselves, do it for your kids or your grandkids. But now is the time that we really need to get it together. And we have so many options to help us through this. And it's all throughout the book that we really, they're believing in us that we can do this. And I think now is the time to do it. And please contact me if you want to. My phone number is 623-302-7422, and I'll get back to you within 24 hours. I would be more than glad to do personal appointments, read the book. If you have any questions, I'm here for that too. But I know Robert's there too. It's like we all have each other. We can collectively rise above, and I think that's what we need to remember. And that's how we become one again.
It is. It is. Well, thank you. This has been a delight, which I knew it would be.
Aww.
And I look forward to keeping in touch. So, again, I really appreciate you being my guest tonight, Tammy.
Well, I'm honored. Namaste, and have a good night.
Namaste. Thank you, you as well. Everyone, thank you for joining us for this edition. I do want to remind you, I have a show tomorrow night from 7 to 8 p.m. Eastern, and my guest is going to be Daria Justin, medium in our midst. She's a psychic medium from here in South Carolina, just about 20 miles south of where I'm at, so it should be a lot of fun. Hope you can join me for that, and until we meet again, cruise on.
Thank you for tuning in. You've been listening to ByteRadio.me's Mystical Crew Show. To become a friend or follower, visit www.blogtalkradio.com/ByteRadioMe. You can also find us on Facebook and on Twitter at ByteRadioMe or at our website www.ByteRadio.me. That's BiteRadio.me. Until we meet again, cruise on.